Sarah Rollins.
Your address?
My home address is 814 Ridge Road in Owensville. My business address is the Miller Shopping Center, the extension office at Owensville.
Okay, how old are you?
42.
And what day were you born?
It's on September 24th, 1950.
Your mother and father's name?
My mother's name is Barbara Griffin Ritchie, and my father's name is Robert George Ritchie.
Where have you lived and when?
Oh, okay. Well, let me think. We'll start at the beginning. I was born in Detroit, Michigan, and shortly after my birth, I moved to Fairbanks, Alaska. After we lived in Fairbanks, Alaska for a very short time, I'm not old enough to remember it, moved to San Antonio, Texas, and were there for about a year, and then my father left the Air Force, which is why we moved around a lot, and we moved back to Michigan. And I lived in, I think I've lived in about six different places around Michigan. Matter of fact, I didn't go to school at any one school for any longer than two or three years before I moved to a different school because we moved around a lot. I moved to Kentucky, to Bath County, Kentucky, on October 15th, 1973. And I've lived in Bath County ever since then.
Okay, and what kind of education do you have to do the job that you do?
You're required to have at least a bachelor's degree and preferably a master's degree in either agriculture or home economics.
Okay, and what education did you have previous to that?
Well, I have a bachelor's degree in animal science, which of course is an agriculture degree, from Michigan State University.
Okay. Your religion?
I'm uncommitted.
Okay. Do you have any business, political, or social memberships, past or present?
Yes, I'm a member of Epsilon Sigma Phi, which is a fraternity for extension employees who have worked a certain length of time. I'm a member of the National Society, National 4-H Agents Association. I'm a member of our Area 4-H and State 4-H Agents Associations. I'm also a member of this goes on, the National Society of Decorative Painters, because I enjoy painting as a hobby, and I belong to several local service organizations and advisory committees as well.
Okay, and what is your present occupation?
My present occupation is as the Bath County Extension Agent for 4-H and Youth Development.
Okay, former occupations?
Before I had this job, I worked just as a factory laborer at A.O. Smith in Mount Sterling. Before that, I worked for Premier Beef Cattle Association I'm not quite sure how to put this. I just worked on a farm taking care of cattle. We had three people. We took care of 1,500 head of cattle, so we're pretty busy. Before that, I have worked as an entries clerk at the Michigan State Fair. I worked one summer when I was in college as a camp counselor, and I worked three summers during college at the Veterans Administration Hospital in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Okay. Do you have any special skills?
Well, I'm not sure. I'm not sure about special skills. I think one of the main skills that I have that is helpful in this job is to be able to get up and speak in front of a group and to work in front of a group. You also need to have some skills as an educator, you know, be able to teach and work with people in a learning situation.
Okay. What are your major accomplishments?
Survival. I'm not really sure. I consider a major accomplishment getting this job in the first place. When I graduated from college, I tried to get a job in Michigan as a 4-H agent. And then I applied for this job and interviewed for this job three times before I actually got it. So in a way, it's almost an accomplishment that I finally managed to get the job I've wanted ever since I was in college.
Okay. Have you participated in any national events?
Yeah, it's kind of a lot of them, really. I'm not quite sure about events. When I was in college, I was a member of the livestock judging team when I was in for my college, and I participated in national level competitions for horse judging and livestock judging and meats judging. I participated on the national level in some of my decorative painting activities. Every year I go to a convention that's a national level convention, and I also participate in the national conferences for the 4-H Agent Association.
Okay. What local events have you participated in?
This may take the whole take, Jennifer.
Just name a couple.
Seriously, I participate in a lot of community service activities, like a May Day committee, work with the community Christmas tree, work with the local horse groups, especially since I'm kind of the person in the county with some horse expertise. I also participate in heavily in county fair when we have one. Of course, we haven't had one for 2 years due to the loss of the building. Quite frankly, the extension office has their finger in a lot of local pies. We probably hit about all of them.
Okay. Are you a national born U.S. citizen?
Yep. I think Detroit's in the United States.
Okay. Are you a naturalized citizen?
No, huh?
Who would you recommend that would be a good candidate for an oral history interview?
An oral history interview?
Such as I'm doing now.
Such as you're doing now? I think that quite often older people have a lot of information to share with us, and sometimes it's hard to winnow out the people. We did have a gentleman who was 98 years old from up in Menifee County, remember, that participated mm-hmm. in our community pride activity, who was really interesting and had a lot of stories to tell about what his life was like as a child. He would be a good one. I can't remember his name.
Okay. Do you have any additional information about your childhood that you'd like to share?
My childhood.
We moved around a lot.
Yeah.
A lot that happens when you
were... Yeah. No, not really. There was nothing unusual about my childhood, except that probably I was raised poor. My parents didn't have a lot of money. And also moving from place to place, combination of those two things being fairly unsettling for a child, I probably had an unusual childhood in that way, in that we never settled anywhere very long.
Okay, you said earlier that you were an extension and youth development agent. Could you describe what you do and the programs and stuff that you take part in?
Okay. Well, you kind of have to have a little background. The extension offices are found in each county in the United States. And they are staffed usually, but not always, with a home economics agent, an agriculture agent, and an agent who works with youth or 4-H, as it's often called. The message of the extension service, I have pinned on my wall, the mission statement of Kentucky Cooperative Extension Service, is to help people improve their lives through an educational process that utilizes scientific knowledge focused on issues and needs. Now, that sounds really good. Basically, we're here to help people and educate people. And we're also here to disseminate information from our university, which in our case is the University of Kentucky and Kentucky State University also, to send that research information out to the people, make it available to the people in our counties. Now, of course, that can go in home economics, ag, or 4-H. 4-H is a little different because we're really here to work with kids from age 9 to 19, that's the age limit for the programs we do, and to help educate them, particularly in life skills, things that they'll need later on in life that maybe they're not getting in school. For instance, how to cook, how to sew, but also how to work with computers or how to become a good public speaker. Anything that they can use in life, kind of filling a little of the gaps maybe from the school education.
Okay. Let's see. You said, what kind of degrees do you have to be an extension agent?
Okay. It is required that you have at least a bachelor's degree, and they prefer that you get a master's degree in either agriculture or home economics. Now, in some cases, they do accept people with different degrees, but they prefer one in agriculture or home economics. And that's really a tradition thing. In some of the urban settings, you know, they'll have people with maybe a degree in education or even business and some other things. But most of us will have that type of degree. Also, we're encouraged to go back, if we don't have a master's yet, we're encouraged to go back to university and work on our master's degree. And one of my co-workers, our agriculture agent, Gary Hamilton, is working on his right now. Seeing him suffer through it's about to convince me not to do it. But hopefully one of these days I'll find the time or make the time. I think it's a case of make the time to go back and work on my master's degree. I kind of could kick myself because I had a chance to get a graduate assistantship and get my graduate degree right after I finished college, but instead, being a typical college-age student, I decided to get married instead. But I still have plans to continue my education.
Okay. How do you feel that your program and stuff benefit the community?
Well, it's really far-reaching what we do, and I'm talking as the extension office rather than just as myself. It can be a lot of things. We get a lot of calls from the community, people that have problems, and we try to either help them ourselves or to find the right person, usually at UK, but not always, to help them with their situation. I mean, this can be any kind of situation. When people bring in a bug they found somewhere that they don't know what it is and don't know how to kill it or don't know how to get rid of it or are worried about what it is. We've even had people bring in snakes. You know, they're worried about what kind of snake this was. Mm-hmm. Snakes are not our area of expertise, but, you know, at least they thought we could help them. We have a lot of calls from people who need help, like with food safety. You know, I can something and it looks like this. Is it safe for me to eat it? We get a lot of calls from people that have questions concerning maybe their child wrote on their brand new white sofa with a magic marker. How can we get it out? And these sound, sometimes they sound like minimal problems, but it adds up to a pretty busy schedule because we get calls constantly. I mean, some days you can't get any the work you planned done because you're getting constant telephone calls. One thing that I was working on today is I had a lady who wanted some programs that she could use in her work on teaching low-income people how to budget their money, and I've been trying to track down something that she can use. I think I found one. It costs $10, so it seems kind of strange to have to pay for something for low-income people. But now that's just in general. Also, I work with youth groups. I go to the schools and work with fourth and fifth grade students. We do a special program each month. For instance, in my last program for the fifth graders, is we learned to make an omelet. Everybody made an omelet, and I made them at least taste it. Some of them liked it, some of them didn't. That was the fifth graders. The fourth graders last month, they learned about tools. I brought all kinds of hand tools in, and we passed them around the room after I threatened them with if they did anything to them. Passed them around the room, we talked about what you use them for, and you know, and I was surprised. I didn't think that program would be that interesting, but the kids really seemed to be interested in it. And I wonder if it's because their fathers won't let them touch their tools. It may have been the only chance they ever had to lay their hand on some of this stuff. And we also do programs for the whole family. We do a young farm management school program here in Bath County where the adults have a session and the kids have a separate session, and we're just finishing that up. This year the kids program was on pet care. We did something on dogs 1 week, cats 1 week, and then the last week we're going to do one on little gerbils and things and whatever's left over besides dogs and cats. And then adults did, of course, much more serious things. They had a session on family nutrition, and they brought in basically were asked to do a recall on everything their family had eaten, and we ran it through the computer to analyze, you know, what they were short of in their diet or whether they had too much fat or too much cholesterol or so on. They also had a session, I'm trying to think here, they had another session on things that we had a congressional aide visit with them from Washington who spoke to them on, you know, what's going on in government that would be of interest to farmers, you know, that would affect farmers, I should say. We also had a session on Yeah. Low-cost family vacations and activities. And all these suggested sessions came from a committee meeting. We invited people to come in that had been involved in the program in the past and gave us recommendations on what they thought they would like to hear. We don't just give them a program and say, this is what you're getting. We ask them what they want, and then we try to find speakers. Coming up here on March the 13th, we're having our third Home Lawn and Garden Day, and we set that up similarly. We have adult sessions and also a child session. And we do that to help answer some questions. We always get a lot of questions on pruning fruit trees, taking care of trees and shrubs, decorating, this type of stuff. And we're going to try to cover those in this one-day program. So, our job is really hard to define because it's something different every day.
Interesting, though. What are some of the youth programs that you do?
Some of the youth programs, of course, I work with the 4th and 5th graders at school. Also, high school juniors get a chance to participate in what we call the APES program, which is the American Private Enterprise System Project. We pick the top end of the junior class to come in and do a two-day program on, economics, basically, is what it's about, how economics are organized, especially in the United States, and it's a competitive event. We give them quizzes, and the top five get to go to a state competition, and they pick the state winners from that to go on to a national trip. And that's jointly sponsored by the Extension Service and the Kentucky Council of Cooperatives. Other things that we do, teen programs, we offer a lot of area and state level programs. We're getting ready now for our what we call Teen Roundup, which is a weekend at camp for students from the eighth grade through college freshmen. We also have senior conference in the summer also for teens, where they get to spend a week on the University of Kentucky campus and have leadership as well as extensive social opportunities. We also have clubs like Horse Club, which raises money to support our kids, gets them to basically to support the kids that probably couldn't afford to show otherwise. We raise money to help them go to shows. They have a monthly meeting where they learn different things. Let's see, what else do I have? I have a community club that meets once a month, and they try to do community service projects mostly. We also have activities, single activities like Speech and Demonstration Day, which is coming up here too long, when kids get to compete in a public speaking contest. And we have that on the county level, and the county winners advance to area, and area winners advance to state competition. And in some cases, we even have national competition. We also have 4-H camp. Every county has a chance to take kids to 4-H camp for a week in the summer. This year we're camping the week of July 12th, and we are camping with two other counties, Madison County and Morgan County. In fact, this Friday we're having our first camp hunt meeting, so that's why camp's kind of on my mind. Really, it's hard to summarize because there's so many different things, and I always thought I'd want a job where you got to do something different every day, which in a way is nice, but in another way it's fragmented. It's hard to get a handle on it sometimes.
How do you feel that these programs have helped Bath County?
Well, of course, the Extension Service in general provides a lot of information. The 4-H and youth programs mainly offer kids, and I think it's important in a rural area especially, they offer them an alternative activity. We're very heavily involved in sports in this community, but there's kids that aren't athletic, and there's also kids that maybe sports don't fulfill all their needs. I think mainly we help teach kids life skills, and we give them an opportunity to build their self-esteem and feel better about themselves, not only through competition, but also through the feeling of accomplishment when they learn to do something new, whether it's to make an omelet or learn what a tool is for or whatever it might be.
Okay, what are some of your hobbies that you like to do and stuff like that?
Well, I'm saving up. I've got hobbies saved up for the rest of my life. When I retire, I am ready to go. One of my primary hobbies is decorative painting. I go to a decorative painting convention every year. Like this year, I'm going to try to go to two of them if I can save up enough money. I really enjoy painting. I paint in watercolors and in acrylics mainly, and I've also painted in oils, and I've also done silk painting, which is really interesting. Then a hand-painted silk scarf that was really kind of fun. In addition, I also quilt, though I don't have much time to quilt anymore. I used to do quite a bit of it. Like I said, I haven't done any quilts for a while. I have a big pile of quilt fabric saved up for when I retire. I also like to knit and sew. And I have multitudinous pets. I have 6 cats and 5 dogs. So that, I don't know if you call that a hobby or a commitment, but I have lots of things to spend my time on.
Okay. How has Bath County changed since you moved here?
Bath County's changed quite a bit. I've been here, it'll be 20 years this year. Probably it hasn't changed as much as I thought it would, though. You know, we've got some factories here, which when I first came here, I don't think there was any really employment other than the service industry. We gained the Dairy Queen. Bath County has really remained more static than a lot of places. What amazes me is how much Lexington's changed. You know, I remember all the empty farms and everything. They're all filled up with condominiums and apartments and shopping centers now. There's changes in Bath County, but they're pretty subtle changes. I think one reason Bath County doesn't change very much is because we don't offer employment opportunities for young people. And I think unless young people stay in the community after they get out of school, I think the community tends to stay a little static. And I really wish there was something for them to stay for, but there isn't, unless they're farming, and even that's very rare anymore.
Speaking of young kids, do you think that the services and stuff that you provide here in your work, do you think that that affects the young people from turning to drugs and alcohol and other risky things?
Yeah, questionable behaviors.
Yes.
I think everybody wants to think that. It's hard to document that. But I think any time you provide an alternative activity or a chance to build a young person's self-esteem, you're having a positive impact to the point where hopefully they won't engage in risky behavior. In some cases, 4-H tends to pick up on the kids that get missed out. There's the kids get involved in sports, and lots of times when a kid commits himself to sports, or herself anymore, that's all they can do. That's literally all they can fit in their schedule with practice every night and games and everything. There's kids that aren't athletic, though, and we have, I think in this community, we have little to offer them. There are other youth programs like Scouts and so on, and I'm sure any youth program they're involved in is good. I guess that hopefully this program, as well as other youth programs, can show kids that there are ways to do things to get ahead, to feel better about yourself, that don't involve putting yourself at risk.
Okay. We talked a little bit about your childhood. Do you have any siblings or?
Yeah, I have a brother and a sister, both of them younger. I was the first person, as far as I know, in my family to graduate from college, but my brother and sister both went ahead and got a college degree. My brother, and I don't know how to explain it because I don't understand it, but he works in what they call numerical control. He programs robots that build tanks for the Army and for other people's armies. He programs the robots for General Dynamics in a factory where they make tanks. And my sister, he lives in Michigan still, my sister lives in Texas, and she is a salesman for a medical supply company. She's the only one that's making a lot of money.
Okay, what are their names?
Well, my brother's name is Robert Lynn, and my sister's name is Lisa Kim. And her married name is Lisa Kim Seeley. Her last name is Seeley.
Okay, is there anything else you'd like to talk about? Anything you think of?
I would like to talk a little bit about the history of the Extension Service. I don't know if most people realize it, The Extension Service is, as far as we know, the only agency, government agency, in which federal, state, and local monies and resources are all involved. Part of our money comes from federal, from the USDA, part of it comes from state appropriations, and part of it comes from county money. The Extension Service goes all the way back to the 1860s. Abraham Lincoln was the person that founded the land-grant universities. And land-grant universities were basically colleges which were given a grant of land, a piece of land, provided that they did agricultural research and also provided that research to farmers. It started with agriculture. That started something that turned out to be bigger than just about anybody. I think mainly because they needed a way to get this research information to farmers, they started having agriculture agents in the counties. Well, they had agriculture agents, and they kept seeing that, you know, that the farm wives needed help on this, whether it was, usually it was canning, you know, information on the proper way to can food. So then they had the home economics agents to help the farm wives. Then they started what they called girls and boys clubs. It was like a girls clothing club and a boys corn club, almost always associated with home economics or agriculture. And from those corn clubs and clothing clubs and canning clubs is what 4-H developed. And we were very, very closely aligned with agriculture for a long time. But you have to understand that in the 1860s and on through the beginning of the century, that a very large percentage of our population lived on the farm. Nowadays, this, you know, they say it's less than 5% of the people making their living by farming. So we have branched out to cover other areas, and particularly in 4-H, it's no longer just limited, I'll get this right, to cows and cooking kind of a thing. But onto computers and small engines and public speaking and a lot of other things that we think would be of interest. And another thing that we're mandated to do is to develop leadership qualities. We are supposed to work with people in our community to help them help their communities. We're getting ready to have an area leadership seminar in Lexington where each county gets to take two couples. It could be a single person or it could be a husband and wife team to train them in how to accomplish things, basically how to accomplish things within their community for whatever good. It's not aimed at any particular thing that they want them to do. It's just aimed at them making a difference, making a good difference to their community.
Okay, thank you.